RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Monday midday right here, The Fan in New York, ringing in 2026, a couple days away. Dove, Nico across the way, other side at the controls. We're taking right up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. 888-808-1019, that is your number to call. You can hit me up on X at Mark Melusis. That is Mark with a C, and plenty to chat about, plenty to get into. We'll get to the Giants. I understand a lot of Giant fans upset by their superlative performance yesterday against the Vegas Raiders. By the way, as Max Crosby posted another video working out showing that his knee is A-OK, 100% healthy. That's an issue for Davis and the Raiders moving forward. But as we saw yesterday with their performance against the Giants, the Raiders have got a cavalcade of issues to deal with. But we'll get into Big Blue and why yesterday was a good thing, not necessarily a bad thing. And I'll explain a little bit later on. And we'll get into the Rappaport report that came out from the NFL Network yesterday afternoon as well in terms of the future of the general manager, Joe Shane. But we start off with the Jets. And there are sometimes, and you know I've talked about Aaron Glenn, and you had the report 9 days ago that Aaron Glenn was going to be given a second year. But there are games where you look at it and you watch it as a fan. If you sat back, relaxed, had your favorite libation, it's the holiday season, there are games that get coaches fired. There are performances that get coaches fired. And yesterday's performance against the New England Patriots, in which the Jets allowed, you know, Drake May to go 11 for 11 to begin the game, where they scored 5 touchdowns on their 5 offensive possessions in the first half, where he had Mike Vrabel using a timeout with 19 seconds to go, leading the game 35-3, and basically telling his team on the sideline, blank them, and everyone laughing and mocking out the New York Jets on that Patriots sideline. There are games to make the Jets go out there and run one more offensive play. And I understand there are Jet fans that are upset. Here's the deal. Do something about it. And I don't mean a fight. I don't mean an altercation. I mean, provide a little bit of pushback. Where was a little sense of pride yesterday? There was none. I mean, Aaron Glenn can tell you after the game all he wants that we've improved. There are things that you might not be able to see. It's all nonsense where the Jets have improved. What? Have you improved where? Where exactly have you improved? You've not been as leaky of a ship as you've been the last 2 years. What, Woody Johnson's not as hands-on as he was the last 2 years? What, you're going to give me a good quote in one of these press conferences? What, you fired Steve Wilks? Where exactly is the improvement? Where is the tangible improvement? Because the Jets were not just bad in the month of December. They were historically bad. They lost to the Dolphins 34-10. They lost to the Jaguars 48-20. They were non-competitive against Tyler Shuck and the New Orleans Saints down in the Bayou. They lost that game 29-6. And then yesterday they lose to the Patriots 42-10. Now you might say, well, the Patriots are a good football team. Well, yeah, I agree with you. Can I ask you this? Why does it look different for other places? Why exactly do I look across the landscape of the National Football League yesterday and I see the Pittsburgh Steelers, who basically could cement home a playoff spot? Now, you might say, divisional game. Okay, so is this against New England. Divisional game. Browns were home. So were the New York Jets. The Browns, with little to no offense whatsoever, go out there, stymie Aaron Rodgers with that defense. Miles Garrett, fantastic. The Steelers basically wanted to prevent Garrett from getting that sack record. Who won the game? The Browns. And Stefanski might be a dead coach walking. How about the Saints?
You want to bring up another example? Who the Jets lost to a couple weeks ago by 23. How about the New Orleans Saints with Tyler Shuck? You know what? Yesterday, down in Tennessee, coming back in the second half, they win the game by 8. Shuck goes out there, throws for 340 yards. The Saints have played well. They beat Carolina on a couple occasions. They went down to Tampa and beat Baker and the Bucs. And I understand that might not mean anything right now because, you know, the Buccaneers have lost 7 of their last 8 games after starting the season 6-2. But you're seeing life from the New Orleans Saints. Even the Tennessee Titans, who fired their head coach months ago. The Tennessee Titans a week and a half ago went out there and beat the Kansas City Chiefs and then played a quality football game yesterday against New Orleans. You're seeing signs of life, a little sign of progression. You get none of that, none of it from the New York Jets. And that is the frustrating aspect. And then you get from Glenn yesterday after the game, well, you know what? I'm not going to go out there and blame the rookie quarterback. You're really going to blame Cook? Because the lack of offense? I mean, that's what you're going to lean into. You guys, I mean, this is the Mensa meeting that decided to build the quarterback room, that decided to build the quarterback room the way that you did. This is, I mean, when you look at Mucci and Glenn, they're the ones that looked at Justin Fields and said, yes, let's lean into him. The only quarterback in that room that can play is Taylor, and he can't stay healthy. Cook is non-competitive. And then you want to tell me, after you bench Justin Fields, that you're going to start Tyrod Taylor because you want to learn. This was what was leaked out of Florham Park. We'll learn whatever about everything else going on with the team so we can evaluate the rest of the team. The team stinks. And the funny aspect of it was, is that the comparisons to the Lions and Dan Campbell is this. Glenn was not handed a roster that stunk. There is talent on this team. And yesterday, the Jets got absolutely and thoroughly embarrassed. There was no pushback. There was no pride. There was nothing. They allowed the New England Patriots to come in. And I was dead wrong. I did the show yesterday morning. I said this would be the prototypical spot where Belichick was coaching the New England Patriots. You know, he would absolutely leave no doubt. He would want to thoroughly and completely and utterly embarrass the New York Jets. I thought maybe Vrabel would take the foot off the gas, and he did in the second half. I mean, took May out of the game as he runs to the sideline with chance of MVP from the large Patriot faithful that packed MetLife Stadium on a chilly Sunday. And I don't blame the Jet fan for getting rid of their tickets. I mean, who wants to watch this slop? But I was wrong about that. Vrabel called that timeout in the second half and in the end of the first half and mocking the New York Jets. You know what? That should make you angry. That should make you ticked off. I don't want to hear about in the second half that they scored points against Jacksonville. Who cares? That is window dressing. Or that Breece Hall went over 1,000 yards before he suffered a knee injury. Who cares? Good for him. Dealing with this mess that is this coaching staff. And I was dead wrong. Listen, I thought it couldn't be worse than what you saw with Saleh. And Saleh's team's underperformed. And it was a constant nonsense and drama and the leaks coming out of Florham Park. But you watch this product. I asked Glenn, get specific. There should have been a follow-up yesterday when he talks about things that you're not seeing that we're improving on. Hey, Aaron, look, where? Where exactly is the improvement? What exactly is going well for this team right now? You lost games to a historically bad way in the month of December. No other team in the history of the NFL. Ever. Ever. And then you had a rival come into your last home game. Yesterday afternoon at MetLife Stadium. Your last home game. And your team looked like they wanted no part of it. And then I got to get after the game. Well, this was the first game this year. For a team that's 3-13, this is the first game this year where I was concerned about the effort. And we have to look into it. What are you looking into? The majority of the players basically can't wait to get out of here. Can't wait to go hit the, whatever it be, the beach, Bahamas, Bermuda, whatever it might be. Maybe they're going on a European vacation. And I've said all along, listen, you got to give Glenn a second year. And I like the whole idea of, the Parcells outgrow kind of that old school mentality, got to be heavy handed, got to be the adult in the room. But where are the answers? Talking to former players all the time, they will follow a head coach as long as they believe that head coach has the answers. Let me ask you this question. As you're listening to the sound of my voice on this Monday midday, do you think Glenn has the answers? Do you think he knows what questions need to be asked? Do you think he's going to do the self-evaluation during the course of the offseason? Now you might say, well, listen, Mark, Jets don't have a quarterback. They chose Justin Fields. That was football acumen at its worst. They looked at Justin Fields and said, you know what? He's going to be our Jared Goff. Nonsense. Goff went to a Super Bowl with the Rams. Was terrible in the game, but went to a Super Bowl. let it make sense. At some point in time, make it make sense. Nico, play the cut. Let me hear Glenn talking about Woody Johnson and being upfront and honest with the Jets owner. Let's hear.
Woody knows just as well as anybody. I'm not going to BS him about anything at all. And I think that's the one good thing about our relationship is we all going to be straightforward with each other. And the number one thing is we got to get better. And I think that's obvious. We have to get better.
Yeah, well, no doubt. I mean, Aaron, you're 3-13. I mean, you got to get better. And you can't continue to go back to the Detroit example. You just can't. You can't go out. You can't continue to tell me and preach me about Detroit and where they were, the foundation. And, listen to Aaron Glenn yesterday. He's like, the guys know the foundation that we're building. What are you building? Where? Honestly, explain it to me like I'm in kindergarten. Exactly what are you building? Where are we going? Where's the improvement? He talks about the improvement. Well, you might not be able to see it. Well, then where are you improving? The film room work? Where are you improving? You're putting together nice meetings? Where are you improving? Everybody's getting along down in Florida Park. There's no drama. Where are you improving? Because in the NFL, it is about wins and it is about losses. That is what it's about. That is what you're judged on each and every week. And you watched yesterday afternoon a division rival that has historically, after Bill Belichick decided to step down as HC of the NYJ after hopping off that treadmill, and go up and join up with Kraft. And then they brought in Brady. And they got dynastic up there in Foxborough. You've watched the Patriots go out of their way, for the most part, completely and utterly embarrass the New York Jets at every chance they can. And yesterday, they mocked you. Vrabel mocked you. Now, you might say a little bit of a bully. Shouldn't have called that timeout. Got to be classy. Nonsense. Now, what are you going to do about it? Where's the pushback? Where's the pride? There was no effort yesterday. There hasn't been effort in weeks. You want to tell me that the Jets gave you a great effort down in New Orleans against the Saints when they lost by 23? What about against Jacksonville where they lost by 28? What about the performance against Miami? I mean, the outlier is, amazingly enough, they beat the Atlanta Falcons. But that team is so poorly coached, just like you. And I'm not one. I've said it before. I'm not one that where I was like, you got to go out there. And it is the holiday season. Nobody wants to lose jobs. Trust me, I know. Right? But here's the deal. I'm not telling you that Glenn deserves. Glenn, there is no. I can't sit here and make an argument, kick it off the airwaves on this Monday midday right here on WFAN and say, bing, bang, boom, this is why Aaron Glenn deserves year number two. There's not an argument to be made. There's not an argument to be made. Former player, gets the organization, wanted the job. I get it. Paid his dues, learned under the guise and the guidance of Parcells and Grow, all of these things. I remember sitting there when he got introduced, listening as, there was one former Jet after another in the building. When we take the field, you're going to know what Jet football is all about. What exactly is that? Being a doormat for the Pats? A doormat for the Saints? A doormat for the Miami Dolphins and Liam Cohen and the Jaguars? Why do I see improvement other spots? I even see improvement. I mean, Tennessee's looking for a long-term head coach. You got McCoy down there. They got Cam Ward. And you might say, well, the quarterback room stinks. Well, listen, they've made the decisions. And it is on you as a staff to put together a game plan. Glenn even had the goal yesterday to say the game plan was solid. Really? You lost by 32. Drake May didn't throw an incomplete pass until basically the minute 44 mark of the second quarter. He started the game 11 for 11. He threw two incompletions the entire game. They're raining down MVP chants at MetLife, and that is your home. There's no argument. Now, do I think he's going to come back? I do. Do I think it's going to look decidedly different next year? I do not. What would lead you to believe that it does? Well, you want to say, well, maybe they get a franchise-changing quarterback. The question you have is, do you trust this staff? And I never thought we'd have this. Listen, when Glenn got hired, I said, well, he can't be worse than Saleh. Saleh's an unbelievable defensive coordinator, right? But he was a terrible head coach. You know, wanted to be friends with everybody, wanted to be likable, didn't want to, you know, create any kind of issues with the team and this and that. Rodgers could do no wrong. All the stuff that we talked about with Saleh at the time, right? But I didn't think anyone of them could be worse than Saleh. And then Aaron Glenn steps into the building. And I rooted for him. I have. I've said it time and time again, but I can't make a tangible argument, an educated argument. I can't come and give you some hot take on this Monday and say, well, this is why Glenn deserves more time. Because he's earned it. Based on what we've witnessed this year. When I watched other teams improve, I mean, even the Browns yesterday that have got nothing to play for. Divisional game, outside of Garrett getting the sack record, right? Outside of that, Stefanski, dead coach walking for all intents and purposes. And they go out there and beat the Steelers, where the Steelers, if they get a win, they're in the playoffs and eliminate Harbaugh, Lamar, and the Baltimore Ravens. The Saints with more have showed you a pulse. The Jets are basically dead on arrival. What am I supposed to go goo goo gaga over Hall getting 1,000 yards rushing? And I like Breece Hall. I do. I feel bad for him. Got to be beaten down by the losing, as was Quinnen Williams, as was Sauce Gardner. Where are the answers? As we get set to ring in the new year, the Patriots yesterday, who are not going anywhere, because Vrabel has got a clue. And he is a true culture changer. And they've got a franchise quarterback in year two in May. But the Patriots yesterday went into your building, packed with Pat fans. Now, does Woody care about that? No, he just wants to sell the tickets. By the way, the soccer coach missed the kick. But the Jets can't even get out of their own way with that one. But the Patriots stepped into that building yesterday, not only embarrassed you, but they mocked you doing it. It's great that Glenn's honest and open with Woody Johnson. What else you got to say? Hey, Woody, listen. It hasn't gone our way, year number one. It'll look decidedly different year two. Trust me. In order to have trust, you got to show some sort of a pathway, some sort of a sign of life, some sort of a sign of improvement. And you know what the Jets were in the month of December, as we got one game left to go? Historically bad. Not bad, historically bad. Take flight. 10:19. Malusis with you. 888-808-1019. Kicking off a little Jet football. I mean, that was as bad as it gets. It really was yesterday afternoon out at MetLife. We'll get into the Giants. We're rolling right up until 2. Plenty of your calls. It's a Malusis Monday right here, the Fan in New York.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Mickey and Dumont gets us going here on this Monday. It's Mickey. It's the fan. What's going on, Mickey? How are you, buddy?
Hey, yeah, going on, man. First time, long time. You know, I called in on Friday to Willie and
Jerry.
To Willie and Jerry, and I was saying how we have to let Glenn get a second year, because if not, nobody's going to take this job because we're a Mickey Mouse organization. But you know what? We are a Mickey Mouse organization, and what he showed this week and was nothing but disgust. I'm 36 years old, and I have never seen a team play worse in my entire life. He has no life. He has no fire. He sits on that sideline. He has his arms crossed, just like Rob Saleh. He's lost. Like what he let them do to us yesterday. That should have been 42-0 if only because Vrabel let the brakes go off. It would have been 42-0. I think, honestly, we should let him become the defensive coordinator maybe next year, like how we let Rex do something, so that maybe he has something to do, because him sitting there and not doing anything and not showing any fire and not showing any care and not doing anything is making us look like a joke, Mark.
Here's the thing, Mickey. Imagine coming out losing a game by 32 and telling the media, which is in essence telling your fan base, hey, I thought our game plan was rock solid.
Our plan was great.
I mean, really? Well, then I question what you are as a head coach, if that's the case. I mean, like, what exactly were you trying to do? What were you trying to do? And I think it was, you know, got to ask the question, why is Cook on this team? I mean, he was inaccurate in college. What would lead you to believe it? And listen, and he's like, I don't want to blame the rookie quarterback. Well, you bring him into the course of the conversation. So, I mean, that's the other problem as well. You guys have made the decision. Like, they've made the mess of this quarterback room. And I said at the time, I'm not going to pat myself on the back, but Justin Fields stinks. I mean, he's not an NFL quarterback. Like, it's amazing that they gave him a two-year contract.
And that's their fault, and that's Glenn's fault, because we could have had Rodgers. Glenn did not want Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers should have been on our team this year.
Well, it's a little trickier than that. Listen, the owner didn't want Rodgers, and Rodgers hated the owner.
But we don't need the owner. We have the biggest joke owner in the world. He's a joke. He needs to sell this team. He don't care anything about the Jets. He cares all about the money, and that's it. That guy needs to go. He is the worst owner in the NFL. And it's sick and tiring of being a damn Jet fan, because the Jets, we all know what it stands for. Just endure the suck, or just end the season, because it's terrible.
Yeah, it was a
and
good one.
Every single year, it's the same damn Jet.
Yeah, Mickey, you're not wrong. I could sense your frustration, rightfully so. Dave, Jersey Shore, New Jersey. You're up on the fan. What's going on, Dave?
What's up, Boos? Great here with you today. You know, I really feel bad for Jet fans. You know, I was a Jet fan back in the day, me and my cousin Kirk, we were kids. I had a Joe Namath shirt and the whole bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, that you were right on the money of everything you said. Like, I couldn't believe it. You were reading my mind. And, you know, I think they're just getting their paycheck and they're just going through the motions. You know, they have
I just don't, Dave. I don't. I wouldn't say that. I mean, from the player perspective, yeah, I think the players are probably tuned Glenn out. I mean, I do. Yeah. I mean, and that's an indictment of that entire coaching staff. You've got to tape don't lie, and there are guys on this team that are going to be battling for roster spots with the Jets or some other organization. There's great turnover in the National Football League, right? So it's not, you got to go back and watch the entire game to see who was laying it on the line and who wasn't, right? But on the whole, it was an embarrassing performance against a division rival that loves to embarrass you, and you gave little to no pushback. None. I mean, I don't want to hear about the second half when Vrabel basically took his, you know, basically coasted home throughout the rest of the game. You know, think about this. I mean, you even had Drake May, and the guy was clearly out of bounds on a catch to Diggs in the second half. I think it was Diggs. It might have been somebody else, another receiver, where he comes flying off the sideline and challenging and basically saying he got his feet in bounds. It was an unbelievable catch. I mean, Diggs went out there. I think it's second straight game this year where he's had over 100 yards receiving. He's had four on the season for the New England Patriots. You know, Diggs has developed great chemistry with Drake May, and after the game, he's saying he's better than I even imagined when I first came here. Amazing. But the Jets showed you no pride. None.
Yeah,
Listen, there are things that have improved that you can't see. Well, that means nothing. That means nothing.
If I can tell you something real quick, you know, me and my cousin Kirk, I was telling you, he still bleeds green. But my grandmother worked at the Waldorf Astoria, and back in the early 70s, the 49ers were in town, and my grandmother introduced me to John Brody and Gene Washington.
Nice.
And Gene Washington picked me up and said, Joe Namath wears pantyhose. And I loved the Jets back then, but I became a 49er fan because I was a kid and I met John Brody and Gene Washington.
Get it.
So, you know, I got a little lucky that I didn't stick with them. Wow. But I still root for them, and I feel really bad for Jet fans.
And you have yourself a nice Sunday night as they held on for dear life against the Iceman, Caleb Williams, and the Chicago Bears last night. But still, victory nonetheless. And now that puts that game next week against Seattle, all important, for the number one seed in the NFC. And that is a 49er team where, you know, for stretches of this year, we've talked about the Eagles. First 2 months of the year, a lot about Baker and the Bucks. The Rams have been a point of conversation in terms of the top team. Seattle's thrown their name into the mix. The Packers before the Micah Parsons torn ACL. But here we have the San Francisco 49ers, no Kittle last night. Tanjus goes out there and has a touchdown. And Purdy's playing some of the best football that we have seen in quite some time. Now, defense you have concerns about when you're looking at San Francisco, but they are ridiculously offensively efficient. And they are playing their best football at the right time of the year. Scranton, we go. It's Rich. It's the fan. What's going on, Rich?
Hey, Moose. Thank you for taking my call.
You got it, Rich. What's on your mind, buddy?
The Jets fans' theme song should be Won't Be Fooled Anymore by The Who. The new boss, same as the old boss. And if the Jets are tanking for the draft, that still doesn't make sense. Because now you know Mendoza's gone. He's going to go to the Raiders. Then you have the kid from Oregon. No matter one-year wonder. We don't even know how good that kid is. But the Jets, no matter what, are going to shoot for a quarterback, which doesn't make sense. Just like Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson's best college game was the NFL Combine. And if you try to waste capital, I hope somebody jumps the Jets to get a draft for number two, gets the Giants, because the Jets got to build this team. It doesn't make sense the route they're going. Aaron Glenn shows nothing for the future right now. And even if you drafted a quarterback, what's his next year? He could be terrible. They throw him to the dogs. It's just a cycle again.
Well,
a
vicious cycle. Rich, you're not wrong. That's the issue. And the Jets have, whether it be the short term, long term, I mean, that quarterback room has got to be cleaned up. And maybe it's more out of Oregon, whoever it might be. The Raiders still got to go out there and play the Chiefs this week. Giants to go out there and take on the Cowboys this week. We'll see exactly how it plays out. The Raiders made their intentions perfectly clear. But you don't also, you want to see something where it's turned a corner. Where the impact of Aaron Glenn here running this program as the head coach of this team, and you've seen nothing.
And then it's a matter of, well, how exactly do I have confidence then year two it's going to look decidedly different? Now, a quarterback can change everything, right? A franchise quarterback can make the town idiot look good, right? But but that will only last so long because then you have goals of trying to go out there and win a Super Bowl. But what exactly would lead you to believe it's decidedly going to look different? Now, it's an indictment on Glenn that he fired his defensive coordinator, in year one running this team. Here's another Glenn pearl of wisdom yesterday, postgame, after the 42-10 loss to the Pats.
I always talk about how we come out and we play with effort. Today was probably the one time I feel like our effort wasn't as good as I would want to be. And that's just me not BSing you guys, just being on this. I didn't think the effort was where it needed to be.
What about when you took on the Dolphins? How was the effort there? What about when you took on the Jacksonville Jaguars? The effort was rock solid there. I mean, what about the Bills early in the season when you lost 30-10? I mean, the month of December, as we're ringing in the holidays, you got Hanukkah, you got Christmas, everything that's going on. The Jets have lost games 34-10, 48-20, 29-6, and 42-10. And there you have Vrabel, 19 seconds to go. You know what? Let's call a timeout. Run another play. Eric in Rivervale is up next on the plan. What's going on, Eric?
Moose, what's happening, brother? How are you?
I'm doing well, Eric. How are you, man? It's like it's a comedy. Like you're watching that game yesterday. I'm over at FanDuel. I can't believe. First off, nobody's there. At MetLife. It's all quiet. The place is, whoever is there, they're all Patriot fans. And, and the Jets show you no life. I mean, they were like a carcass on the field that they rolled out there. Gave you nothing.
It's unreal the level of rock bottom that the New York Jets can find. It's unreal. It's like no sooner you get to the bottom floor of the elevator, they're digging again. It's like it is absolutely it's shocking. It really is. And yesterday was just another example of the Patriots taking it to us, which is embarrassing. It's 20 degrees. Who's going to MetLife as a Jets fan? It's 10 degrees a week after Christmas, before New Year's, and you got to play the Patriots. Everybody as a Jets fan knew what the result was going to be. But the first question I had for you, actually, though, Moose, was how was did you end up doing the challah bread French toast on Christmas?
You know what? I did.
How'd that go?
I did. It was great. It went. I needed to soak it. You got to soak it overnight. Now, it was rushed because I wasn't able to soak it overnight due to refrigerator space. Because you had to have, I was cooking Christmas Day dinner. Oh, but yeah. The challah bread French toast was a hit. It was great. It was absolutely delicious. Kids ate it. Donna loved it. I had a small piece. And it was very, very good.
Very happy to hear that. I'm going to have to add that to the list.
Oh, you got
to
do it, Eric. It's easy. It's not difficult as well. Just get a challah bread, cut it up, put it into a casserole dish, put the egg mixture in there with a little cinnamon, a little maple syrup and everything, whip it up and then soak it overnight, and then you bake it for like 40 to 60 minutes at 350 degrees. It's pretty good. It's very good.
Simple. I like it. Fantastic. So, on the Jets, you cut, that clip of Glenn I thought was really interesting because him saying that it's the first time that he didn't see a lot of effort was laughable. And it's, obviously Glenn's in a tough spot. I mean, what can he say to the media where he's not going to get eviscerated? Probably nothing. But you mentioned December. The point differential for December for the New York Jets in 2025 is -107.
That's amazing.
You have to go all the way back to 1960, the Bears, so it's an NFL record, and it hasn't been touched in 60 years.
Crazy.
The Jets, here we are, new record. And the other thing, and this is kind of conversely on the flip side of it, that I thought was really interesting, is I think it was only 17 of the players that dressed to the 47 yesterday were on the 53-man roster when the season started. So and seven of those were on the defensive side of the ball. So you have players that are on this team that we didn't see in weeks 1, 2, 3, and so on. So it's this patchwork that they're doing that I can't quite understand. The players that are supposed to show up aren't. And the only player that actually looks like he cares is Breece Hall. And he's going to be our first 1,000-yard rusher in what feels like my lifetime. And the other thing that really blows my mind, and I was talking to my son about this yesterday, the New York Jets have not been in the playoffs in my son's lifetime, and he just turned 12.
Oh, my. Terrible.
I mean, it, 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 it's just, it blows your mind.
Yeah,
I don't know what
the
answer is.
My kids have not seen the playoffs. Have not seen one playoff. Yeah, it's crazy.
It blows my mind when I think of it that way. And the other thing, I don't know what the solution is, because I certainly know what the problem is. But the solution, you know, Glenn's not going anywhere. I can certainly understand the thoughts that he should, but it's just not happening. So the point is, he's coming back. Now what do they do at quarterback? I have no idea what the results are going to be next week. The Jets certainly aren't beating the Bills. I know that. So they'll be at 2 or 3, probably, unless the Raiders can figure out how to beat the Chiefs. But be that as it may, what, you know, if it's not Mendoza, okay. But what, I mean, we have no idea what Muji's going to do. And I don't know. I mean, do you give it all away to potentially go after Joe Burrow? Maybe.
Let's see if Burrow, and I think he spoke more out of frustration 2.5 weeks ago than anything else. Like, and, you know, the Bengals.
You're probably right.
You know, and so yeah, would I be interested in Joe Burrow if he became available? For sure. I'd be more interested in Burrow than Lamar because I'm a little concerned about Lamar's injuries and how they keep on rearing its ugly head. But we'll see what kind of changes happen in Baltimore should they lose this upcoming Sunday against the Pittsburgh Steelers with a battle with that game with the AFC North on the line after the Steelers lost to the Browns yesterday, Eric. And thanks a lot for the call. Yeah, I mean, if it's not a ready-made quarterback, say like a Burrow, and you bring in a quarterback with this coaching staff, who, by the way, got undressed yesterday, I mean, offensively and defensively, it's not just about effort. I mean, it's also about scheme. The Jets repeatedly make the same mistakes defensively. Nothing ever gets cleaned up. And you don't have Wilkes to blame anymore, right? So when you look at it, you know, they got that coach, whatever the game plan, if Glenn wants to tell you the game plan was rock solid, and you're watching guys basically running free like gazelles in the prairie and wide open. I mean, how exactly do you do that? How about that touchdown pass where the tight end basically could do a somersault into the end zone? That was the fifth touchdown of the first half before Vrabel called the timeout to make the Jets run another play. But the coaching staff was bad. The effort was bad. The performance was bad. And this was against a division rival. By the way, I mean, it should be lined up. This is Patriot Week. We're not going to be a laughingstock any longer. And then you lose the game by 32. Where the Pats scored on their first 6 offensive possessions before Vrabel was like, all right, enough. Let's just get home. Carmine, Garden City's up next in the Fan. What's going on, Carmine?
What's up, Moose? I mean, honestly, I think I'd rather talk Holiday Recipes than Jet Football, in all honesty.
Yeah, what do you got, Carmine? What do you cook up? Give me a recipe. I want to hear it.
I don't know, man. Something during the Jet games has to be hot or sad. I don't know. And, I mean, the only person that's happy is my wife, because she can make all the plans in the world knowing that the Jets are going to lose every Sunday. And it's seriously the worst thing ever. But, like, you're talking about the timeout situation. Like, why was Glenn calling timeouts at the end of the half? Like,
right, because he wanted to get
35-3.
I know, because he wanted to get it right.
Was he going to score?
I was listening to Wischusen at the time. He's like, well, they're calling timeouts. They're helping out the Patriots to get the ball back. and then helping them out, and he's calling timeouts because he thinks he's going to stop them. They're not.
It's seriously laughable. Like, I don't want anyone fired, but, like, watching this year, it's just getting worse and worse. And I know you're a diehard Washington fan, and they still play hard. They got backup quarterbacks in there. Team's still playing hard, competitive every week. I mean, people were laughing at the idea that we could possibly hire Rex Ryan again as head coach. But you know what? If we had Rex here, at least our defense would be awesome. I mean, yeah, I don't want to go back, but it would be totally different. You know, I mean, the thing
it also brings down other issues with Rex. And I get it. You know, the last modicum of success the Jets had, Rex Ryan was the head coach of the team. I can't go back there. Listen, Glenn, you know, as much as I rip him apart today and the Jet performance yesterday against the New England Patriots, and rightfully so, and the little to no, I mean, pride. Where's the pride that you have?
Where do you
look back and you're like, there's other teams compete. Like, where's the competitive edge? Like, we could talk about lack of talent and you could talk about roster turnover, you know, but you're looking guys and NFL players, professional athletes, their compete level, you know, is at an all-time high. They want it more than anybody else. Where's the compete level yesterday? The Patriots rolled into town and took the Jets behind the woodshed and they took it.
You know, the Pats have been rubbing the score in our face for so many years. They totally run up the score every time we play them, and it's just sickening. I mean, you know, my son's going to be 13, like the last guy said, and my wife told me the other day, she was like, you know, the best thing you ever did in your life was sell your season tickets for the Jets and not make your son a Jets fan. And I'm looking back at it now, and I have to agree with her. Like, it's just to the point now where even Ira from Staten Island's been calling for Glenn to get fired since, like, game five. And this is Ira saying it.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's coming back. I mean, but yesterday's performance, Carmine, is one that, you know, gets you canned. I mean, it does. Where, I mean, even Woody and the Bobs and his sons be like, wow, this is bad. I mean, that is a tough one. But, like, I have not, you mentioned about your son in terms of what fan, like, my kids root for whoever they want to. Like, I don't push anything. And I'm not as big of a Washington fan as I once was. I think Snyder over the years kind of took that out of me. It really did. Just the, you know, and he was, at his peak, the worst owner I've ever seen in sports on every single level. Bad human being. So, like, but when you look at, you know, my kids, they root for, I mean, Gregory's a Giant fan. Jackson's an Eagle fan. Paul's a Niner fan. In terms of hockey, they're all into the Rangers. For the most part, Islanders as well a little bit. Not so much the Devils, even though they love Jack Hughes. And they all play hockey. But I just like, it's not one where, you know, and if they wanted to be Met fans and more Yankee, more lean Yankees than anything else. But we've got out to Citi Field a number of times and they enjoy going to a Met game. Enjoy the experience. So I'm not one where I'm like, you got it. This is, you know, this is a Nick Ranger Yankee household. This is, no, I don't do that. Root for whoever you want to. Just enjoy it. Hopefully you pick a team that doesn't bring you a lot of unenjoyment. That's what you want. Like yesterday, Gregory was fired up that the Giants won. We were breaking down the game. 34-10, big Giant victory out there in Vegas. We'll get into that. I understand a lot of Giant fans upset by that. We'll get into Brooklyn. It's Randy. It's the fan. What's going on, Randy?
Hey, good morning, Mark. Happy holidays to you. Thank you so much for taking the call.
You got it, Randy. Happy holidays.
Thank you. First time, long time. I did not watch the Jets game yesterday. And actually, honestly, I don't even want to give them the time of day because all they do is lose. It's been 15 years since they made the playoffs. I'm not going to waste my time. And quite honestly, like, I have my two daughters, a 7-year-old and a 6-year-old. My 6-year-old asks me, why do you watch the Jets lose? I don't even have an answer.
Because you're a fan.
You know what?
Because you tell your 6-year-old you're a fan. In good times and in bad.
Yeah.
It's like a marriage.
Yes, I agree. I'm a fan.
Health and happiness, like, good times, bad, wealth, whatever it might be.
Right.
Everything like that, right? You want a partner that's going to stay with you.
Yeah, right. I mean, like, it's terrible, like, you know, but, you know, it just got me speechless. Even my 6-year-old recognizes that this is not something that you want to be watching. And I get it. I am a fan. I will be a fan. But honestly, it's a disgrace being a fan. It's terrible, you know, and when I look at the Jets, I look at their future, it doesn't matter what they do in the draft, if they choose a quarterback or go another route, what's the difference? Because 9 times out of 10, they always get that pick wrong. They always end up getting the wrong guy. So why? Like, why? I don't even understand why I'm still a fan. I mean, like, it's just terrible, man, but...
Well, Randy, I get it, you know, and sometimes you choose the team chooses you. You know, you're a Jet fan. Yeah. You decided not to emotionally invest yesterday afternoon. You know, that is your choice. And there were a lot of Jet fans that decided not to emotionally invest and go out to MetLife on a chilly Sunday as well. And that is your choice. I'm not telling you what to go out there and do. You think at some point in time, like, you know, you're going to get it right. At some point in time, just by happenstance. Doesn't have to, pure luck, that at some point, you know, the football gods will smile upon you. That'll be A-okay. But you got to have the right people in place. And, you know, if you want to compare, and we'll get into a little bit of Giants here in a little bit, but if you want to compare the two, the Giants are in a better position than the Jets because they have a quarterback. Now, the Giants have the all-important hire as far as their head coach. And they've got to bring in the right head coach this offseason. And we'll see exactly who that is. And they've got to get that proud franchise back to where it belongs in the complexion of the NFC East. As far as the Jets go, you have serious reservations about the staff. You have serious reservations about the head coach, and the quarterback room is a disaster. That's a lot to work out, a lot to figure out. And Aaron Glenn, in all likelihood, is going to be coming back year two. I mean, he's got to do some soul searching in terms of, and the narratives he spews doesn't work. The stuff that he said, it, you know, people want to see it. You know, people want to see the improvement. You can't tell me something is improving when visually we see nothing. That doesn't work. Roger in the Bronx. What's going on, Roger?
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for having my call.
You got it, Roger. What's on your mind, buddy?
I just want to really just talk to Woody. You know what I mean? Woody, if you're hearing me, if you're listening to me, do not bring back Aaron Glenn. It's okay. Nobody's perfect in life. We all make mistakes. It's okay to make a mistake. It didn't work out. Do not bring Aaron Glenn back.
Well, what's your biggest, Roger, what is your biggest issue with Glenn? Besides the results, right? Besides December, you know, losing games. I think they got outscored by 106 points. Besides all that, like, what's your biggest point of contention with Glenn?
He's clueless as an NFL head coach. That's my number one. He's clueless. He's clueless, meaning he don't know what to do. He don't know what to start with. He's clueless as an NFL head coach. And I could just go through the games of time management, the blowouts, it's just so much things. He's not an NFL head coach. He could be a coordinator somewhere, but he's just not an NFL head coach. NFL coaches keeps us in games, keeps us in ball games, prepares well, adjustments, a halftime, all of these things. He's not an X and O's NFL coach. That is just simple like that. So if Woody brings him back, we'll go 1-7 by the half of the season, and he'll fire him, and then we just wasted him almost a good 18 months of just disaster. So Woody, if you're hearing me, it's okay. Bring in an offensive-minded head coach, and then we'll just start all over again. Do not let Aaron Glenn go through the draft. That's all right. I
want
to say.
Thank you. Want him out? What about Muji?
Yep.
You bullish on Muji, or you want him out as well?
Nah, Muji's my man.
Oh, you like Muji?
Can say, yeah, Muji's right. Cool.
You like Muji. Muji's good. Glenn, not so much. You want him out. Like I mentioned before, I think he's coming back for year two. Can I make a tangible argument, an educated argument, that I could run through, you know, A, B, C, D, that Glenn has earned the right or has shown you enough where you believe that year two is going to look decidedly different? I cannot. I mean, honestly, I'd be lying to you to tell you I can. Mike in Stony Brook is up next on the fan. What's going on, Mike?
How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Michael. How are you?
Good. Would it be okay if I made three quick points, or is that too much to ask?
No, you can make all the points you want. You got three, four, five? What do you got?
Just three. Thank
you. Okay. You got it.
I don't understand why the Patriots hate us so much. We're not a pimple on the pimple of their rear end. It just makes no sense, the grievance they have with us.
Okay.
Two, you know, we're still, believe it, we're going to be like, by the time they get to mediocre, we're going to have like a 20-year span where we're probably going to have the lowest winning percentage of any North American sports team for 20 years. Because we're about 300 right now. And we're still like on the front end of this mess. We got to realize that Aaron Glenn's a mistake, flush him out next year, which means the quarterback that we draft this year, we're going to ruin because he's going to have two or three offensive coordinators in his first 2 years. We're still on the front end of this, which sounds incredible when you think about it, how long it's been.
That's true. I mean, Mike, what's the third point?
Oh, that was it. Just that, you know, I don't understand why the Patriots hate us. We're one of the worst franchises in the history of American sports, and it's far from over.
No, well, Mike, and, you know, if you want to put it in the right context, and you're a coach has got to be a number of things when it comes to, and let's just kind of drill down when you're looking at the National Football League. Number one is got to put together the right staff, develop in terms of what the personality, what is going to define that organization's team offensively and defensively. What do you believe in? Obviously, that could be dependent on where you're playing, outdoor games, Northeast football, want to go out there and try and run it and be able to run it end of the season, solid offensive line, defensive line. But when you are at a talent disadvantage, you want to make an argument, well, the Jets are clearly at a talent disadvantage going into that game yesterday. Well, you want your coach and that staff to give you an opportunity to be competitive. Can you make the argument that the Jets do? And then you have to make the argument, well, if the Jets bring in a, say, a young quarterback, do you necessarily have the staff to be able to develop it? And that's the one thing. It's one thing to draft a quarterback. The other thing is, what do you do with said quarterback when you have him in the building? How do you get the most out of that quarterback? And you can look at examples around the National Football League for the most part. And I think the McCarthy struggles in Minnesota are more on McCarthy than it is their head coach, Kevin O'Connell. You look at out in San Francisco. Like, if you're trying to, and there was a time when you were a former coach in college football, you'd go to Alabama with Nick Saban. Sarkisian did it. Kiffin did it to kind of rejuvenate yourself and make yourself attractive on the college football ranks. And because you'd go to the Saban, you know, coaching tree. If you were a quarterback now that you're looking to kind of revitalize your career once again, where it hasn't gone up to expectations, the places you'd want to go, really, San Francisco would be at the top of the list, and then obviously Minnesota. And then potentially, you know, when you look at out in Indianapolis. But really, when you look at Shanahan and San Francisco, it's remarkable. And coaching matters in the NFL. And you look at the 49ers, and yes, they've had an easy schedule this year. I get it. But that coaching staff, with Shanahan leading the offense, Salah leading that defense, they put themselves in the best possible position to be successful, and they've dealt with injuries. Their left tackle, Trent Williams, suffered a hamstring injury. I think it was the first or second play of the game last night. Bosa done. Their best linebacker done. Kittle's been in and out of the lineup. Ricky Pearsall's been in and out of the lineup. They haven't had their number one wide receiver, Brandon Ayuk, all season long. And yet, here we are, the San Francisco 49ers with a victory this upcoming week against Seattle will be the number one seed in the NFC. Remarkable. Shows you. Coaching matters. Have you seen any of that from Glenn? The answer to that is no. But he's open with the owner and honest with the owner. Imagine him stepping into the room and trying to, you know, lie like Pinocchio to Woody. Hey, it's not as bad as it looks. I understand we were down 35-3 at the end of the first half. I get it. The game plan we put together, though, I'll tell you, I loved it. It was pretty good. You're listening to I had to go back this morning as I'm driving down, you know, the FDR drive. I listened to the Glenn Presser again because I couldn't believe what I listened to yesterday. Just to make sure I didn't mishear anything.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.